But I work with children mostly. Even in the Army, I was a pediatric nurse, and I loved that. And I thought that I don't know how to say it. I was in Germany, and my dogs walked into. Now that sounds dumb, right? But my dogs walked into a meeting of Christians, and I ran in and got them out, you know, and the pastor came out, and he, or the youth group leader, whoever it was, came out, and he says, you know, they say sometimes that children lead their parents to the truth. Maybe your dogs are going to lead you. And I said, well, I don't follow my dogs. And so I wouldn't have anything to do with what his teaching was. Little did I know that had I listened, what a blessing it would have been. But I didn't listen. And I thought my good works as a nurse, I mean, I was helping people, wasn't I? And I thought my good works made up for all my sin in my life. And I knew I was in sin. I needed to be convinced at the time when I started falling away. But you know, there's always plenty of people around that'll convince you. I mean, if you're unstable in your ways, there's always somebody willing to convince you. And so I was convinced in the life of sin. And I fell into a depression, and the depression was very, very severe. I was suicidal. I attempted suicide several times, and I started with psychotherapy, and I was in this for about 3 years without much improvement. When I received a tract, I came from this church, and somebody cares campaign. Again, I thought it was somebody that wrote just to me, you know, somebody cares. And so I thought, oh wow, somebody cares for me, and I had those tracts. Four Things God Wants You to Know and The Simple Plan of Salvation. I had those tracts, and I would take them out and read them whenever I would really get down. But it really didn't help me. I would just get more down because I didn't want to take any steps. You know, I didn't want to do anything. And not only that, but I had a boyfriend that was still in Germany, and I was hoping that he would come back. And so I didn't want to take any chances that I would lose him. Well, finally, 2 years later, January 31st, 1982, I finally mustered up the courage enough to come in this building, and we were meeting in the other auditorium at that time, and there was missionaries here. It wasn't a mission conference, though. I think they were just up here. Cindy Kincaid was sitting there. Well, I guess I thought I sat down next to Cindy Kincaid, but Myra said I sat next to her. And when I started asking questions, well, Myra got Cindy over there next to me. And so she started explaining things to me, and I accepted the Lord that night. Well, in July or August of that same year was the first mission conference that I had ever been to. And so I asked, you know, for my days off or my vacation so that I could come. And I was told as a missionary during that time. When I told Lindell, you know, I thought he'd be excited for me, you know. But he says, no way, I ain't coming. He says, I'm not sending another single missionary. Forget it. And so I said, fine, you know, it's your problem. And he says, oh, no, it's your problem if you're being called. But he said, if I was sending a missionary, they would have to attend the classes of doctrine and that type of thing for 11 months. And, you know, they'd have to do this, they'd have to do that. So anyway, I started the classes, and I liked them, and I liked them. And after I finished that, I didn't take any further steps to prepare me for mission service. And I was talking to, he's not here right now, but Tim Fitzharris one night, and I was starting to get real depressed and everything again, and I'm real restless and sad, and I had already quit one job, which I had had for 7 years or 8 years, but I was feeling unhappy. And I couldn't seem to have my happiness again, and I didn't know why. And so I was talking to him, and he says, just a second. You're telling me that you've been called by the Lord to go to the mission field, and that you're not doing anything to prepare yourself. Well, I don't think you should be surprised that you're not happy, you know. It's impossible to be happy if you're not in the known will of God. And I says, well, what do I do? You know, Linda said this, and you know. And he says, well, if the Lord has called you, then you need to prepare to go to the mission field, whether the church sends you out or not. So that's when I decided that he was right, and I started preparing my house for getting, you know, for sale and everything, and painting it and all that jazz, and started preparing. And when I got it all prepared and put the house on for sale, and then I came and I told Lindell again, you know, that, well, I'm going. And he says, where are you going? And I says, well, I've decided that I have to go to the mission field. I have to go. And so if I have to come back every couple months or every month or so to work, that's fine. That's what I'm going to do, but I have to go. And he says, well, what are you going to do about your house? I says, oh, it's already up for sale. And he says, well, he says, let me pray about it, and I'll talk to you. You know, I know, a week or two. So a week later, he and Grant wanted to talk to me, and they said, yeah, okay. You know, we think that you should go, and we will support you. But we put out the fleece first and said that after, if the Lord provides some money, and they said how much, then when he provides that so that you'll have enough to get started on, going down there without anything is ridiculous. It's setting you up for failure. So if you go down with this much money where you can get started, then you can go. And he announced that night. And a lady that almost never, never, never comes to the meeting, she was there that night, and she came up and gave him a check for more than what he had said. So he says, well, you're going, girl. So that, to me, that really shows that the Lord's in it. And so when I was down there, and I got real depressed and everything, and wanted to come back. and I real discouraged, and I praise God for Dale, who was very patient with me, showed me a lot of patience and love and firmness. thanks to the way that Dale, the Lord had Dale deal with me, I was able to stay through these depressions. And one thing that Lindell came down one time to talk to me, and he had said that he had learned never to make a move when it's dark, you know, that you wait until after the darkness is gone, and then you make your move. And, of course, when you're in depression, everything looks down. I mean, everything looks dark. Nothing looks positive. Nothing looks good. And so that's not the time to make your move. So I decided that he was right and that I would wait until the darkness left. And when it left, my question is, like what we were talking about just today or yesterday, to whom do I go? Where do I go? You know, I mean, I know this is where the Lord wants me to be. If I leave, I'm not going to be happy, and I'll never be happy because the Lord can always find me. You know, I mean, I can't run from the Lord.
Amen.
And Jonah's a good example of that. You know, you just can't run from the Lord. And so I knew I had to stay there. That times sometimes are hard, especially the emotional times, because I was more emotional than I am now. But I was very emotional at that time and very prone to depression and everything. But the Lord has given me a lot of victory in that.
Amen.
I still have a long way to go. I know that. But I think the more I depend on the Lord, and the more He can bless me with His victory. And I think the time that I've been down there, I've gotten very, very close to the Lord. And sometimes it's lonely, but sometimes I was lonely here, you know. And sometimes it's sad, but I was sad here too, because that's just human nature. That's just normal. And so to me, I feel like I'm where the Lord wants me to be. And I would like us to go to Colossians 3, verse 17 and verse 23. I had to go get these glasses. I think that means that time has started downhill, because I've always been able to read the small print. Okay.
It gets worse.
I'm afraid so. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. I couldn't come back in the name of the Lord, so I needed to stay and do it heartily as to the Lord. And to me, this is a verse that I try to fall back on all the time. And when I'm talking to the sisters, I try to use this for them too. You know, sometimes their husbands are real tough and unreasonable. To me, all men are like that, right? But really, and it's really hard for the sisters. I know you women know what I'm talking about. But it's really hard. It's really hard for them to be submissive. It's really hard for them to fall in line, because their husbands are unreasonable at times. But the advice that I give them, it's like I tell them I don't have a husband, praise God. But that I can read the Bible, and that if they would do what they need to do for the Lord, as unto the Lord,
Amen.
that would help them.
Amen.
And at times when it's just really tough to do it for your husband because you love him, at those times, do it for the Lord, you know, and then it doesn't matter how they react. Then it doesn't matter if they appreciate it. Then it doesn't matter if they throw it down and say it's garbage, you know. Fine, it was done for the Lord, and you know the Lord appreciated it. And more than one has told me that it helps, that it really does help, that if they can remember that at the time, that it helps. And so to me, that's what I want to do. I want to use this in my life, that like when I'm helping the children or something, and their parents get angry. Well, I didn't do it for the parents. I didn't do it for the children. I did it for the Lord. And the Lord knows my heart, and the Lord knows that what I'm doing with them is to try and teach them the Word of God. And like we were talking this morning, sometimes it's tough love. You know, I mean, sometimes it's tough to do what you know is right for the child, but that it has to be done, or they're not going to learn. And our children, all children, but our children, are going to have a tough life. I mean, their friends are kept. Their homes are broken. You know, there's not too many children in the clubs and that have both parents in the home. And so they're going to have tough lives living as Christians. They're going to have tough lives following the Lord. And so the only way they're going to do it is to learn now, not to be a crybaby about it, and to just get on going, you know. And so I feel like teaching the children this is a blessing to them, even though it doesn't look like it. It's a blessing to them. And I no longer worry or fret about that I'm not a preacher or that I'm not a good singer. You know this song that we sing? It says, if you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, if you cannot rouse the wicked with the judgment's dread alarms, does it say quit? Don't try? No. It says you can tell the love of God, of Jesus. You can lead the little children to the Savior's waiting arms. And that to me is what I can do. And so I can tell the children of God's love, and I can tell the children how the Savior has given his life for them, and how they need to come to him, and how the Lord can protect them and bless them and grow them up. And that's what I want to do. And although sometimes the work seems real small and unimportant, you know, and sort of like, well, I mean, nobody throws stones at me or nothing, you know. And, you know, I mean, nobody recognizes it's not important. That song that we sing, the message that Joey gave Sunday, oh, it's such a blessing. I know I'm in the gap that the Lord wants me to be in. Okay? And so I try to remember in hard times when, you know, those pity parties or when those sad times come up, I try to remember that little is much when God is in it.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord Jesus.